We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the RotoWire hashtag After Dark Champions League show. It's Monday night, and we have UCL tomorrow. My name is Jack Burkhart. You can find me on Twitter at Jack Burkhart. I'm joined, as always, by Ryan Belongi, and I'm particularly excited for a very special guest we have on board for today. He's been on an absolute heater lately, and he's one of our Discord regulars, always chopping it up, whether it's a big UCL slate or probably some MLS coming up, right, Mo? But I just want to welcome Mohamed Al Hendi. You know him as Mo Hendi in the DK lobby. He's here to join us. How's it going, Mo? Welcome to the show.
What's up, Jack? It's very exciting to be with the team. We've always joked about doing this for a long time. And, we said that it'll happen once I finally got a ticket. And after, you know, something like 1,000 qualifiers, I finally got one. So, I'm just excited to be here. This is a really interesting slate. You know, it's far different from the usual ones that we've seen in at least last week and probably a few weeks before that. So it's going to be fun talking about it.
How's it going on your end, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. You know, I had a frustrating weekend. I was just sort of talking to you guys about it a little, but, you know, that's in the past. Happy to have Mo on the show. Happy to have a different perspective. Excited for the Champs League. Two interesting games. The slates are tougher than I originally thought. I guess there's a couple of interesting decisions. Excited to have Mo on the show. I think we should start, you know, just a few basic questions. I was just wondering, like, you know, when you started playing DraftKings soccer, how'd you get into it? Did you have success right away? I don't know, just kind of like the basic questions.
Yeah, so I think it's almost been like 4 years of playing it, which is crazy to me to think about. But it really, I think, has been just about that long. At first, I don't think I played pretty regularly at all. I think I just kind of dabble here and there. And then I think in the last couple of years, I started playing a little bit more actively. I think it all started like two seasons ago where I'd stumbled my way to two tickets. I played Alanga in the last game of the Premier League season, like on his debut. I don't know what year that is, but like I remember that very well. And he like scored on his debut. And so I finished pretty highly. I just kind of got hooked from that moment on. I was like, all right, when's the next slate? And the next slate wasn't for like 3 months. But from that on, I really liked it. So mostly soccer on DraftKings. Occasionally there'll be some NBA, which is like quite a different experience, I think, than soccer. But soccer's my DraftKings drug. It's the game that I get most excited about.
Can't forget basketball either, right, Mo?
Can't forget what?
Best ball.
Best ball. If we're including it, then it's probably the right there is my second DraftKings drug, right after.
I remember that Alanga slate, man. I was so tilted that I didn't play him because he was like min price forward on that slate.
And that was exactly it. It, like I, I'd like to say it was this big brain play that no one saw, but I think it was basically like I needed a cheap second forward. And I was like, hey, this kid making his debut might be worth a shot. Seems like a favorable matchup. Why not?
And it worked. So have you been like a soccer fan for a while, like watch soccer before DraftKings, or like, were you gambling before DraftKings, or like, you know?
No, I would say that's the former. I just had always watched soccer. Like it was the family sport. Like it was what my dad loved, and I just like followed it forever. And so, you know, I kind of stumbled on DraftKings. I think played MLS slates first. Like I was just like, there's this league no one knows anything about. I feel like I might have an edge here. And I think that's how I first got into it. I've been like a Spurs fan since I was like 12 years old, something like that. Like it's been ages. I'm Egyptian ethnically. And so at the time when I started watching Spurs, they had like one Egyptian, they had Mito before that as well. So they were just kind of like the team to like follow for all the people who like look like me. And I just stuck with them after that. And so that's my soccer story and why I continue to support probably one of the most frustrating teams that there is in all of soccer.
We do it for the pain, Mo. I was wondering a bit of your style, and I think you hinted it, right? So you picked up the MLS lobby, which I have a feeling is your favorite lobby. You're always chopping it up in the Discord with us, which I enjoy. So would you characterize yourself more as like a brain player a little bit versus, you know, someone who's going to grind some Excel spreadsheets and sort by projection and throw in a little dust and throw it into an optimizer? So you're more like hand building. Is that your approach to DFS?
So I think as I've gotten better generally anyway, as I've kind of taken it more seriously, I've learned that it's doesn't really make sense to do one without the other. I would say I'm brain first, probably, right? Like I still look for the edges that don't appear readily on a, like an Excel spreadsheet or whatever. But I would say like in the last few months, I've definitely like taken advantage a lot more of RotoWire tools and taking kind of a long look at the data when I'm making some of my decisions. And I think that's paid dividends as well. So brain first, but definitely seeing increasing value out of incorporating a little bit of machine as well.
Yeah, I've been dabbling in those dark machine arts myself, but I agree with you on soccer. Like you need to have the context behind all these guys' range of outcomes, because if you just try to put one number on it, right? Like it's just so much more that goes into it. Like what roles might be changing that you kind of have to make a manual adjustment anyways. So yeah.
Sometimes apparently the machine tells you to play João Gomes versus Spurs and there's no good reason for it, but you know, you should just listen to the machine apparently. I think this weekend I messaged you before the games kicked off and I was like, why João Gomes? Why are you telling me that Wolves midfielders are going to do well? And all you could say was the machine says so. So maybe trust the machine sometimes over your instincts.
Yeah, I don't really know how it happened, but I must have hard-coded something that says just boost Wolves midfielders by like 30% because they won't stop appearing in my stuff. But hey, sometimes the 3K midfielder just allows you to play Bukayo Saka, who scores a brace even though he is like 13K or something like that. Ryan, you got anything else for Mo? Pick his brain a little bit more, or should we dive in?
Yeah, no, we can dive in. I'm just happy to see the success. People winning money at DFS soccer. It hasn't been my best season from a consistency standpoint. So, yeah, I don't know. I like to see people having success, even though if it makes it tougher for me. There's still an edge out there. You can still make money out there. It's encouraging.
I think it is. I think like when I got into soccer, you know, people would say, and this is like 2 years ago, oh, soccer's the hardest lobby. Cash is a nightmare. You can't play cash games in the soccer lobby. You know, you can't do things like that. But I don't know. I don't think I'm like a mega brain maniac or anything. I don't think I know soccer much better than anyone else. But if you work hard and you have fun, I think you can still approach the games these days, which is a good advertisement for we need more people in the soccer lobby. We have bigger contests, so it should be pretty fun for UCL. And if you need a little bit of help to help you prepare, rotowire.com/soccer trial, get a 2-day free trial, play the Champs League if you're not already a sub. I mean, the tools are just such a time efficiency tool, as we've said so often. And the Discord, I think, is a big value add, too, if you like to you know, joke around or even talk a little bit of ball. We do a little bit of both. But let's get into the slate. We have two somewhat similar games here, but I think Inter Milan is probably seen as a bigger favorite at home against Atletico Madrid. I've been looking at these teams' form. I don't play Interleague as much as you two do, but Inter Milan have allowed 12 goals this entire season in Serie A. They're just absolutely dominating, and I think that has a lot to do with a very small total, but they are probably deserved favorites at home against Atletico Madrid. And then the other match that we'll be looking at, probably the more exciting of the two, PSV Eindhoven, who are absolutely crushing the Dutch Eredivisie. I think they're 10 points in the lead. They have not lost, 20 wins and two draws. They're hosting Dortmund. That game sports the higher total, sitting just above three. Ryan, what was jumping out to you when you were looking at these games and looking at the slate?
Yeah, the first thing is just that Inter, like you said, they're so tough to score on. It's like a nightmare matchup away to Inter Milan. So, I mean, it's a decision about Griezmann, but just for the rest of the slate, like after Griezmann, I was kind of just crossing every single Atletico player off, maybe besides Oblak, and it really narrows it down. Yeah, I don't know. And then, like, just from a cash game perspective, you can jam all the set piece takers if you want to. I'm not sure that's the move. I mean, that's what I was going to ask you guys. I think you guys are a little bit deeper in the cash game streets than me. But, yeah, I don't know. That was my first thing is, like, an Inter at home, I just don't really want to play the other team. But maybe you play Griezmann here because of different factors. You know, the pricing is kind of soft. He still has a high floor. But, like, if you cross Madrid off after that, it really narrows your options down. I'm glad to see that Mo has the Dortmund jersey on because – I haven't really watched Dortmund too much recently. Don't really know too much about them, but PSV have been scoring a lot of goals, and that game, you know, seems like the one that is going to have goals in it. If there's going to be one that's back and forth, you know, much more likely than the other one. So that's the one I wanted to target.
Mo, what are you thinking when you're looking at these two matches?
Yeah. So my thoughts are pretty similar, I think, to Ryan's. Even though I'm wearing the Dortmund jersey, they're probably the team I know the least about. You know, they never end up making it into the Interleague slates. They always get left in the Bundesliga slates, which conflict with the EPL slates, and very few people other than Bear and a few others end up playing them. So they are the biggest question mark. But I would say my initial thought on the Inter-Atleti game is it is going to be as defensive as projected. Simeone's missing Morata. Morata is not in the projected lineup. He may be fit. He did travel with the squad, so he may be fit to have an appearance, but, you know, Depay, like the projection says, is a likely starter. And so I think this game is going to be all about them, you know, utilizing the dark arts, trying to kill time, trying to keep the total as low as possible, hit on the counter, that type of thing. One thing that's tricky is, like, you know, as I was waiting for prices to be released, I definitely had in my mind that Griezmann was a, like, lock 10K type player. And so seeing his price come out at 8,300 definitely changes that. You can say that for a few guys, though. I think there's a bunch of guys on this slate, as we'll walk through, that are priced way lower than I would have expected them to be priced at. You've definitely got at least a couple of them, I think, on PSV as well, where you, like you guys have said, it's all attack. They're playing against Dortmund, who are also an attacking team with, you know, two wingers that play fullback, basically. It's definitely the more attacking game, the game I'm more interested in. I think I'll have probably more players from that game as well.
I was wondering a little bit about the Inter-Atletico because I know Atletico have been a little bit more attacking lately under Simeone. It's not like the same Atletico that we may have seen, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, like always grinding out seemingly these 1-0, 0-0 wins. So do you think that the game's going to be slower is just a function of this is knockout soccer now and the Inter defense is going to be strong? Or do you think that there might be something that's just not priced in? You know, it's just seen, well, Inter's defense is good. They're probably a better team than Atletico, so therefore low total. I don't know. I guess with this starting 11, it looks like Atletico Madrid would be looking more to grind out a result, but they've been in some shootout games when I've been playing in Interleague. So I don't know. I don't really want to play their players because, I mean, it seems like they're all going to play 60 minutes except for Griezmann, but maybe that's good for the Inter side as well. I don't know. Do you think there's any merit to that, or am I overthinking it?
I mean, maybe a little. They've been involved in some wild games this season, especially recently, more so than usual, like you said. But I think just away to Inter is what wins out. I mean, anybody away to Inter in the first leg of a Champions League game, it's going to be tough for that to happen, I feel like.
Yeah, I fully agree. That's how I feel about it. I don't see Inter dominating. I think it's kind of the only limitation that I'd say is that like Atletico can slow down pretty much anyone. But I just don't see them giving us much. And I do see, like you said, Ryan, and like you said, Jack, like Simeone just bringing in fresh legs to make sure that the bus stays strong 90 minutes through, and they're able to kind of keep it low scoring and low paced.
Yeah. So I think Atletico, I don't really know what to expect from their starting 11. This might change a lot. This feels like Inter's best 11, so I would be very surprised if they made too many changes. Acerbi is out at center back, so he's a pretty good defender, but I think they have some depth there. So I'm not too worried about injuries on the Inter front. We might see if Dortmund's, they might rotate one of their attackers. Marco Reus has been taking some set pieces instead of Julian Brandt. So if Marco Reus starts, that might be a stock down for a decently priced midfielder. And we haven't talked too much about PSV. I mean, it's not one of the major five leagues that we cover. There's not a lot of Dutch league DFS being played. But I think this is a lineup that we would have seen quite a lot of in the Champions League. A couple things I dug up. Joey Veerman, he's back in the lineup, but he was just out for a month with a calf injury. And so he has yet to play a full 90 minutes. At 8,100, he's going to take most of the set pieces. You can't be mad if Bakayoko takes a couple corners, but he's the primary set piece taker. But still, I think there might be some fragility in that situation that you should be aware of just in terms of minutes. I don't know how much that should move the needle, but I thought that was a news nugget that was worth noting. Do you have any opinions on this PSV side, Ryan? I know you played some Champs League stuff, and you know, like, I forgot if Saibari was good or bad for Joey Veerman's outlook. So what would you think if this was their 11, Ryan? You're on mute.
Sorry, amateur hour over here. the first thing, you mentioned, I was going to say Veerman had a calf injury. He came back 8 days ago and played 45 minutes. And then got subbed at half. And then in their most recent game, he played 76 minutes. He had 6 shots in that game and took 19. He had 19 crosses and 6 shots and 14 corners. I mean, they were playing Hercules, but like, I don't think I can worry too much about the minutes for like a majority set piece taker on the team with that's in the best spot, you know, maybe for tournaments, but like even that, like you got to give him at least 75 minutes, I think. And that's probably enough to have the highest floor, I would think. I do like Bakayoko too. Even without set pieces, he just has a good floor, goal and assist upside. And then, if Veerman goes off, you probably get Bakayoko taking corners. Saibari, I like Saibari. We were talking about way back, like whether Schouten was in or not, and it might affect Veerman, but I don't really like, it seems like he's going to play too, right? I don't have the lineup up, but he's been starting with Veerman. I don't know. PSV, just they're an attacking side. They've been scoring a lot of goals. They've been in form. I like Saibari. He's been really good. Just came back from Africa Cup of Nations, scored and assisted in each of these last two games. Luke de Jong, highest goal scoring odds on the slate, I think. He's the one I think I never really want to play. I don't know what other people are going to do, but I don't know. I'd like to get a low-owned de Jong maybe, but I feel like on this slate, people will see PSV in the best spot and him with the highest goal scoring odds, and he'll have some ownership too. I don't know. That's what I think about PSV.
Yeah. Why don't we just drop into the forward position? I mean, Mo, I think some of these PSV guys are cheap, so you can get your take in there while you talk about it. But what's jumping off the page to you with forward? We got 8,300 Griezmann, like you said. Feels like he's a play in cash games just because that's not a role that I'm much of a fan of playing, the set-piece majority taker and then a penalty taker as well. Even though it's not a very good spot. As Ryan said, salary's kind of soft. But, yeah, tell us what you think of the forward position.
Yeah, so for anyone who kind of tracks my play or in general, like just the way that I play, it's I always look for those forwards that come with some decent level of floor, whether it's through sets or just through, you know, crosses, shots, whatever. I don't really generally include shots in my calculation of floor, but, you know, that's part of it as well. And so the big issue that I think you face here is that all of the forwards with like the best goal scoring odds don't generally provide much of a floor. Like Luke de Jong certainly fits that profile. Fulkrug is up there. He also doesn't come with much of a floor. Martinez, I think maybe in Serie A has a great floor because he ends up with like minimum 5 shots per game. But I don't think he's getting, you know, up there versus Atleti. And then Depay isn't even worth talking about. I mean, you know, I don't know. Maybe he is. We'll see. But yeah, I think it starts with Griezmann. As I said, you know, I think he's 2K too cheap. He is in the toughest matchup. So, you know, I think that has to be considered. But I still think that the upside and as you said, penalties plus sets just kind of makes him very favorable here. Bakayoko, I think, is very similar as well. It's funny. I looked at the pricing and they have Bakayoko at the same price as Lozano. And I was like, those are two very starkly different plays. Like Lozano is high sub risk. You know, I don't know how fit Noah Lang is, but assuming that he's able to play some sort of role, I would think Lozano is probably like the likeliest to be subbed off for him. And so, you know, that's kind of why I'm higher on Bakayoko, including his like sets and his shots and his general play. There is the, you know, I wrote down, I think, Malin revenge narrative. You know, he did come from PSV. He sat out the game this weekend, but the game before that, he had 2 goals. So he's in, you know, decent vein of form. So, you know, for people wanting to kind of be a little different and kind of go for the options that are maybe less discussed, Malin would be a strong candidate. But that's generally how I feel about the position. I don't know about Martinez. You know, I'll kind of be curious as to what you guys think about a 9K in the supposed, you know, best, most favorite team. That one's a big question, but I think that's too pricey for me.
Ryan, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with Mo that, like, you know, his floor isn't what it is in Italian league games. And I'm not sure you can spend up for both him and Griezmann. I mean, you can because pricing's soft, but yeah, I just don't know if the floor is high as a normal spot. Bakayoko seems safer. I agree with the minutes thing too. PSV also have Goose Till, who could even start, but who could also come on for Chucky Lozano. Sorry, it was Heracles that they played over the weekend, not Hercules. Can't mix those up. But yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jack?
Well, I think you're fired for getting the name wrong on Heracles. But my first impression when I made a lineup just to throw something together and enter contests was I just wanted to jam set piece takers. So I'm like, Lautaro is a little bit expensive. I think a lot of his shot-based floor is based on bullying the bottom half of Serie A, which seems particularly weak this year. So I don't know. Again, I shared the agreement. I was interested to hear what you all thought, because maybe I was thinking, well, maybe it's like, oh, Lautaro, he's going to end up with 5 shots in this spot, and that's tough to fade with the goal scoring odds as well. But if you don't think he's going to get the floor based on shots, you're looking at a player who profiles, you know, as a maybe 15 points if he scores a goal type of guy, which is a frustrating profile. profile to play. So I clicked Marco Royce at 7K in case he starts. I don't think he's in our project 11. He's just because he split some set pieces recently. But I think Bakayoko is very closely priced, and I would probably prefer him. So I'll just make that quick change. I just think it allows you to jam set piece takers. Again, if you play Griezmann and Lautaro, you have to choose a very good midfielder that you have to fade. And maybe Ian Mattson is worth it or something like this, but it just didn't seem as good of a lineup. I mean, you lose if Lautaro gets a brace, but I think sometimes if you play cash games, you just lose in those circumstances. And we hope to see that next week. I mean, in slightly better circumstances. So that was my impression.
So have you guys seen this lineup that would end with 2,500 at second defender?
Yeah, I think I have. I saw it recently.
I was just, you know, can we take a zero there? Or who's the fade in cash games, I guess, is the question. I mean, I think I know, but like, Jack, you said you were trying to play all the set piece takers. Then you don't play Bakayoko? I don't know. Like, who are you not playing?
No, it was just I didn't like redo any research in PSV when I made my lineup, so I was just clicking names that I was somewhat familiar with, and I just saw that Royce was taking a few corners lately with Julian Brandt. But I mean, I think the range of outcomes is pretty good on Bakayoko. That would be a priority. But I think that gave me like 2,800, so I could actually play a defender who was alive. So that might be a consideration depending on the lineup. But maybe we can circle back to four later with tournaments. I don't know, Mo, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say on Ryan's point about who do you fade, I think I'm least sold on Brandt. I know we're going to get to midfield, and I'll say a little bit more about that then. But he's probably the one that I'm least sold on in terms of, you know, if you're going for the cash set piece takers as like
me too.
One of the ones you need.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we can skip around a little bit. Tell us more about why you're a little ho-hum on Brandt compared to, you got Joey Veerman a little bit above at 8,100. I think he's 600 more. And then, I mean, Hakan, 6,400. He's a really frustrating player. Like, he's got a lot of James Ward-Prowse in him, but I'm not fading that.
I am a Hakan truther, you know. I always, because, you know, like, yes, DeMarco might eat into his sets, but he, especially at this ridiculous 6,400, I mean, it might be a different conversation if he was at 75, 85, but, you know, you've got the PK equity, because I think he's still first choice ahead of Lautaro when he's in. He does have, like, priority over sets over DeMarco, so it's not much of an edge, but it's a little bit of an edge. He's in the best matchup, at least on paper, of the slate. And he doesn't really like the tightness of the game might actually favor him in that there might be more work for him to kind of build up in terms of sets and so on as they're trying to kind of get a bigger cushion or if they end up chasing the game. It's like there's more outs. There's more scenarios where he ends up with a good outcome. The worst case is he gets subbed, you know, and that's life. But if I'm comparing that to Brandt, in away games, generally, I think has trouble. He, in my opinion, is a bit of a higher sub risk. There's a few players that would come in for him, Royce being one, if he starts on the bench. I'd say those are probably my top two concerns. Ryan, am I leaving any out? Well, you seem to be on the same page. Why are you kind of iffy on Brandt in terms of the set piece takers?
It's just kind of how I've always felt about Brandt. I don't know. Like, I see he's done a little better this year. A stretch where he was playing 90 minutes a lot and having some good floor games, but he's just sort of always underwhelmed in the past. I don't know, though. Like, you'd figure 90 minutes and all the set pieces, you would want that. But yeah, no, I think you broke it down well. Like, there's some sub risk and on the road. And yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Jack?
I think I mostly agree. I don't have anything intelligent to add. I was surprised when Julian Brandt was all of a sudden some, like, you know, must play in cash game sort of player. That wasn't his profile before this year. So it just feels like the situation is inherently fragile up to the, you know, whims of game script and stuff like that.
It's possible you just want that game, though. I don't know. You know, it could be back and forth. And if PSV score and Dortmund are trying to catch up, he could be a good play.
I guess the question in midfield is, if you do not play Julian Brandt, then what are you going to do at the position? So you're probably going to use that money to spend up for someone like Lautaro. I mean, that's, you know, you kind of want that upside at the forward position if you make that kind of move. But Mo, do you think there are any like cheaper midfielders who might offer, you know, some intrigue as a trade-off off Brandt? You know, maybe not as good a range of outcomes, but someone that might make a more expensive forward more worthwhile.
Yeah, so it's tricky. I actually think there are, so like one player that I wrote down and I didn't cover him in the forward discussion was Samuel Lino for Atletico. He's a forward here, and he's not in the projected lineup, but I don't believe that Riquelme gets the start over him. I think he's like this year's Marcus Llorente. Like, I think Simeone really likes him as a guy who can both go forward and defend. And so, you know, he's not, obviously not midfield eligible, but he's somebody I would strongly consider if I wanted to play three forwards. And I don't know, the price is tricky, but if you want to get a little different, that would be somebody who I would think about. At midfield, I don't know. I you know, to me, I think that I'm very high on Hakan Calhanoglu, Calhanoglu, and Veerman. And I guess I don't really know that there are too many places that I would go otherwise. But I might dabble with that Inter midfield if I decide like that's the game I want more exposure to. We'll see.
Ryan, what do you think of the alternatives at midfield?
I mean, the pricing on Inter is ridiculous. We talked about Hakan a little, but it'd be nice if that was a decision. You know, he should be at least 1,000 more. Could have it be a decision for tournaments, but even for, and so then the other Inter guys are too cheap too. Both of them, Barella and Mkhitaryan, 4K and 3,700. I mean, they both, one of them's going to play 90 minutes. You'd figure, I don't know. They're just too cheap. They both have some, I don't know. They both have decent floors if they're going to play 90 minutes for that price tag. I mean, like if Brandt is going to score you like, I don't know, you know, you might be able to get 8 points from one of these guys and get close enough to one of these set piece taking midfielders.
At the same time, I think that might be more of a tournament angle if you're thinking about Brandt, because I'm not like confident that Nico Barella is going to be the one to get me out of there.
Oh yeah, that's I think that's what I meant. I didn't necessarily mean for cash games.
Yeah. Well, I guess,
although I'm just a cash donkey, I don't know, it doesn't now, seem so I was But it, I mean, Jack, acceptable. if you play Veerman, Calhanoglu, and Brandt, and Griezmann, I mean, you can't really do that. Who are you playing, Jadon Sancho?
That's one option that you could do at the second.
Or Saibari. It's one of those two, really, right? I mean, I guess we didn't talk about that. Who else? You can't. There are no other punts, really.
You're talking at the forward position, right, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, there's Lino too. He's the same price as all them.
I see Saibari is forward eligible. That's interesting. I did not
know only that. Forward eligible, which is kind of annoying.
I would prefer that to just playing an underdog, but there was a construction I was looking at that used Jadon Sancho and just to fit a few other pieces in. I don't think I want to play for like 65 minutes of a Sancho. It's interesting, you know, comparing.
But also, okay, Jack, if you play Veerman, Calhanoglu, and Brandt, you can't play Bakayoko. Are you okay with that?
I think I would be okay with that. Maybe I need to look more into Bakayoko, but
no, it seems fine. I'm just, you know, we were talking about him. I guess you could play like who's the cash? Who's viable for cash then? If you can't afford, it has to be someone cheap.
Fulcrum? Yeah, it would have to be someone cheap. So you could play someone in that price range, just because price would make it acceptable. Probably Saibari, right? And if Marco Reus started and he told me he was going to take a few corners, I don't know how many minutes he plays lately. And maybe I'm thinking too much about the Marco Reus 7 years ago, who was just absolutely incredible when fit. But in the best game environments, I mean, how big of favorites are PSV? Like, we, I think it's completely acceptable to play players with good floors on Dortmund in this spot. Like, this is 44%. This is, you could treat this game like a toss-up, and I think that would be fine. So in that case, okay, I would slightly prefer Bakayoko, but how much better is Bakayoko going to be, you know, when we run the millions of sims compared to Marco Reus? If that's the difference between getting everything to go together, that one lineup that you were talking about, Ryan, I think I would make that trade-off.
Actually, yeah, if you play Reus instead of Bakayoko, you probably can make a lineup that leaves you 2,600 and you could get to Savage.
One play that I think, I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but Stajoto shouted out was Barrios for Atleti, who's 3,300. And if you kind of plug his name into the cheat sheet, his floor looks great. The issue with him, as I've like experienced on past slates, is he is completely live for a halftime sub. You know, like if you could even get a guarantee that he would play like 60, 65 minutes, he might be worth it at that price. But very often, I think, as you can kind of see here against Sevilla and probably a couple of games before that, I know there's at least one UCL game where he was subbed at half. You know, if that happens and you just get, you know, 4 points out of him, that kind of hurts. And so that's kind of one of those things where on lock, it looks like a great play. At halftime, you might not feel as good about it. But I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I mean, for just a few hundred cheaper, the Inter guys have a much better chance at 8 points, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it's if I'd play Barrios if Madrid were home favorites against some Spanish league team, but not here.
Yeah. I think that's right. With you know, Barella at 4K and Mkhitaryan at 3.7, and both of them likely to go a good deal longer, I think they are a lot more tempting. Of course, Jack, I think you've been tempted by none of them, and you're fully locked in on the Dortmund differential plays is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that would be fine. I mean, most of my action's in cash games these days, so that's probably what I'll lean towards. I think you've sold me that three midfielder is probably the wrong construction in tournaments. You don't have access to necessarily, I mean, maybe one of these cheaper center forwards absolutely torches the slate, right? But I don't know, I think it just opens up different constructions. The three midfielder build has to punt at a second defender, and there might be some second defenders who are worth playing. You might be able to separate a little bit from the field in that way. So I don't know. I think those are interesting angles. Maybe not optimal, but I think I still think that three midfielder is optimal. But I feel like, you know, as soon as the field's bigger than 10 people, you can start to consider. I mean, I think I would much prefer to be off that type of construction. I don't know, Ryan. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree, although I could see the cheap forwards succeeding in this spot. I could see that construction. All that construction really needs is like Lautaro and De Jong to not score, and then those cheap forward that might be in business with those set piece midfielders. Yeah, sorry, I'm just reading the chat. I do not think Pepe is going to get the start. He's going to get the start. I mean, wasn't that his first start ever, or like for over the weekend? And I mean, they clearly just did that because they were resting all their regulars for this Champions League game. So, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, and Bear mentioned earlier that he thinks Griezmann has a chance of not coming into the second half. I'm also skeptical of that. But if for some reason that was the case, then DePaul would be a very tempting play. I was already tempted by him anyway. It's 4.3. It's not that high. And there's a lot of games where they're kind of in these tighter games where he accumulates a bunch of fouls drawn, tackles won, and so on. I don't think it's where you want to be, but you know, if by some miracle
Griezmann not starting.
Yeah, I think it's highly unlikely, but you know, if we're going to consider all scenarios,
maybe a 1% chance, maybe. but no, you're right. I like DePaul sometimes too. I like DePaul just in general. I don't think this is the great spot, but yeah. He's underrated, I think, real life, and he can be underrated in fantasy too, just because no one plays him. And you mentioned he can have those games where he just like does it all.
DePaul is a machine play, Ryan. So I think that would be approved without any opponent context. So
DePaul is an absolute tank on the field.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had one more thing to say, but I forgot. Anyways.
Yeah, well, we can just cut away. But yeah, going once, going twice on takes on the midfield position.
Marcus Llorente might start at forward. I've seen that projected. He started there over the weekend and scored two goals. He's done it in seasons past too. He can kind of play anywhere, but I don't know, like 4,400, if he could start at forward. I mean, if Moreno's not fit.
Yeah, I
still probably like Depay, but you never. Sorry, Morata. If Morata's not fit, but you never know.
I certainly like him a lot more than Lino. Like I Lino is in my head because he isn't on the projected sheet, and so it kind of I think might surprise some people when he gets in. But at 5.7, he's just not as tempting. Whereas Llorente at 4.4, you know, it gets in that price range where you're like, yeah, you know, paying 4.4 for a goal, maybe, why not?
Especially if he plays as a forward. I don't know. I just keep on thinking about these Atletico guys, and then I just know that they're going to get subbed at 55 minutes. But strictly speaking, some of them have to play the full 90. So who knows? Good luck on that one, though. I think we'll have to be doing some thinking when the Atletico lineup comes out. I'm just going to assume surprises are going to happen.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Let's dig into Defender. So we have the same conversation every interslate. We have 6,100 Federico DiMarco. He has a great floor. He always gets subbed at like 70 minutes. Some promising things, though, making his case is that the defender position is kind of weak. So you probably want that floor. It doesn't seem to make sense to fade it or to save the salary to do that. And then the other thing was that he was rested over the weekend. So feels like 75 minutes is a very reasonable expectation. If he went below 70, I think that would be pretty outrageous. And he always just gets it done in 70 minutes. You can kind of just, I don't know, it's not a consideration. You just know he's going to get subbed and all his numbers reflect that. I think defender is tricky because what are you going to do after Federico DiMarco? Ian Mattson, if he starts at 5K, looks like an interesting play, but he's, you know, doesn't take set pieces. He's a little bit expensive. We have one of my group stage torturers, Jordan Teze, who is an attacking fullback for PSV. That's also a good matchup. And I think he has similar stats to Serginho Dest. I don't know, Ryan, do you think you're going to be able to pay up for defender twice, or do you want to, or do you maybe see some value in the defender position tomorrow that maybe I don't necessarily see?
Well, DeMarco's a little too cheap. So like minutes worry or not, just the rest of the position isn't that great. Like he's just such an easy click. I can't make a lineup without DeMarco, I don't think, on this slate. So I guess it's kind of nice not to worry about that. Yeah, Mattson, he's good for tournaments. He's been in decent form. A couple assists recently. We know he's attacking just from you know, watching him at Chelsea a few times. Teze is probably the second best defender on the slate. Hit a big game in the league, I think over the weekend, a goal, and or maybe it was last week, two assists and a goal. But yeah, I think he probably, you know, is the, in terms of floor, is probably the second best defender on the slate. Add everything in, assist equity, probably play in 90 minutes. Just, you don't really have any defenders to choose from on Madrid. Maybe, you know, I kind of like Bastoni, to be honest, at 4,300. Guy is just a beast, and he puts up huge scores sometimes. Minutes are frustrating, but he's huge and athletic and shoots and crosses. Actually played an outrageous pass over the weekend. I saw it on Twitter a few times to Barella, and then Barella hit the crossbar, so it didn't end up being an assist. But, yeah, I like Bastoni. Cheaper, I like Ryerson for 3,500 for Dortmund. That might end up being a pretty popular play, you know, a cheap fullback. Yeah, those are my main thoughts. I don't know. What do you think, Mo?
I think defender is probably one of the funner positions, I think, for this slate. I think there are a good number of options, like you guys have already laid out. I think Ryerson at a 1,500 discount to Madsen is definitely somebody I'm going to think about a lot. Yeah, he's probably not as much of an attacker as Madsen is, but, you know, it doesn't take much to pay off that price. I love Bastoni. You know, he's like I generally am not on this train of like play the center backs that will get you points. Like I hate the slates when I see a Joachim Andersen or a Tarkovsky or a Craig Dawson. Like they drive me crazy because I just will forever believe that they are like nonsense plays. But I don't feel that way about Bastoni. Bastoni is everything Ryan said. He'll play the crosses. He'll get up. He has, you know, equity in the box. Like, he's somebody I'm okay with always being priced up. And whenever he's not, I'm like, I think that's a very good play. So in a tight matchup like this, where they might need the extra bodies out in attack to really get that goal, I have a lot of interest in Bastoni. I also, and I see the comment about Darmian. I like Darmian. My number one concern is, when does what's his name come in?
Dumfries,
right? Because he plays in Darmian's position. I probably think that in the Champions League you want someone who's a bit more defensively sound like Darmian. But if that's why he's in, you know, and there's a chance that they may want to go more for attack as the game goes on, it's the sub risk. So That's the only weird worry I have there, but I think he's somebody I like a lot as well. Where are you guys on this Teze versus Darmian question? I haven't seen Teze's salary. What is it?
4,800.
I mean, if they were the same price, Teze for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah,
but just because the minutes, like you said, for Darmian, that's a big risk. He's not very attacking in general. Man, yeah. Tarkovsky, you're tilting me. Saramek played Tarkovsky in the high stakes GPPs today and got 10.5 points out of him. He actually shipped the contest. I mean, what the fuck is going on a slate where salary's soft? But anyways, I guess like when you know, you know.
Yeah, I just want to say that the John Paul Van Heck and Lewis Dunk Union condemns these anti-center backs having no floors comments very strongly, because, you know, sometimes teams that possess the ball, they get a few shots, and tackles one are a thing, and it's good to see defenders who don't commit fouls. All those things go a long way to help your floors. Don't listen to these heuristic players. Don't be afraid to play the center backs.
But the problem is the center back union grows stronger with like every week. Like Kilman got a goal recently. Romero for Tottenham has been scoring goals. Like, it seems nowadays that every other team...
Harry Maguire is always the nuts.
And Maguire, exactly. Like, every other team has a center back where you have to seriously pause now and be like, but what if this is their slate? What if this is the one where they pick up the goal or assist?
How about that slate a couple weeks ago when both Gabriel and Saliba scored?
Exactly. You know, now I didn't play the slate, but there was definitely, it wasn't that one, but it was like a week before that where everybody, like 40% of King of the Pitch played Gabriel and he scored. And so you did actually need him.
Ridiculous.
And that's mind boggling to me because he was 4,800. I was like, you know, the way I usually play, the moment I see the center back above 4,000, I'm out. But, you know, now you can't do that anymore.
A couple weeks ago, I got a Shar brace for 2,600 and still didn't cash. Thought about self-excluding after that.
Oh, just got to play him when he's 3,800, Ryan. Then it's going to hit a little bit different. And real Liga MX grinders will know the exploits of Gonzalo Piovi, the creative center back extraordinaire who's been dominating these slates. It has been an extremely stupid second half to the Liga MX season. All right. We were talking about Teze, and I actually had a sincere question. Are we sure Teze is that great a play at 4,800?
No.
Game environment is elite, but I see on his stats on FBref, he's got 3.5 crosses per 90, 15 shots on the season. I at least like to see my attacking fullbacks taking a rip on goal every now and then. I think that's important for their ceiling.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, Jack, it's really just there's no good defenders besides DeMarco. So whoever the second best defender is just the second best by a hair. I don't know who it is. You know, I just said Teze because he's more likely to play 90 than Dest. And he's just in, you know, quote unquote, the best matchup that has a chance to shoot out. I mean, I can't really ignore that he had 2 assists and a goal over the weekend and also scored in that other Champions League slate. I mean, that's something too. But no, I said that because I just thought the position sucked after DeMarco. But like, sort of anybody can be the second best play. Like point per dollar, maybe it's Ryerson. I don't know.
I mean, maybe point per dollar, just given like clean sheet chances, you can just scroll all the way down. Is the second best defender the player that allows you to fit the other 7 spots? I mean, that
DeVry or whatever, 2,800. Yeah, he could be too. I didn't even get that far.
Or, you know, our boy Stefan Savage, if he starts and makes the lineup we just gave out work.
You know, it's weird for me on Teze because I'm not gonna say I followed him super closely, but I did follow him in his early years at PSV, and he was basically a center back. So, and if you actually go look at his games like last season, he played most of his games in the Champions League as a center back. And so like to see him considered it was Europa League last year, to see him considered like a strong attacking fullback now is surprising. I think he has his games where he definitely can go off, but I think there's a good chance, not saying it's going to be what happens, but there's at least a good chance that he could come out more defensive and give you a modest floor. So I, you know, for that reason, I would say I'm in the same boat as I think what both of you guys are, where I think could be a fine play, but also maybe just play whoever fits best.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. He probably really doesn't stand out. You're right about all that. Just as a player, he's not like someone to get excited about. An attacking player. Yeah, I remember him as a center back too. I just see 5 assists in like 16 league games. And yeah, I don't know. Jack and I were super tilted because he was randomly chalk on that one slate. And I mean, like mega chalk, and then scored the goal in stoppage time, a ridiculous rebound goal from a corner. But I remember he was on all the, you know, Empire Makers team and Third and Schlong's team and all.
Pew, pew, pew.
He, of course. And he, so, you know.
If you're listening, we're not mad about it. So,
No salt whatsoever.
Yeah, not salty at all. Let's get into goalkeeper, our favorite section. So 2-game slate, normally the reflex, especially the reflex of the field, is going to be to click the most expensive goalkeeper. We have Jan Sommer at 5,500. The win odds are not great for a $5,500 goalkeeper, but the clean sheet odds are quite elite. So you just figure the win probably just comes with a clean sheet so often. That's probably worthwhile. I don't think I'll have room to pay out for goalkeeper on this slate. I want to prioritize the midfielders. And as we've discussed, that's just where the money, you know, the money dries up pretty quickly there. I'm happy paying all the way down for, you know, 4K for what's his name, Jan Oblak. I don't know if it's not easy to afford the most expensive goalkeeper, I just don't care. And I hope I'm going to get my 6 points and I, you know, don't take like negative seven like James Trafford over the weekend. Mo, time to put your flag pants on the goalkeeper. This is where your greatness has to shine.
You know, I'm always terrified of playing the same keeper as Jack. You know, it's just there's heavy risk there. But anytime you can pay all the way down and get, you know, the former best goalkeeper in the world in Jan Oblak, it's pretty tempting. So, you know, I think there will be a lot of shots there. Inter have a bunch of guys in midfield who love shooting from distance. I mean, Barella, Çalhanoğlu, even Mkhitaryan, I think, takes a good number of shots. And we all know that if Lautaro gets the chance to take a shot, he'll take it as well. So that's a very tempting goalkeeper play. But I don't think you necessarily are going wrong with Kobel or Sommer either. You know, the one goalkeeper here that I probably feel the least good about is Walter Benitez. I don't think necessarily that the number of saves is there, meaning that, like, I think you're looking for like a range of outcomes that is either like, okay, he gets the win and clean sheet, or he like concedes a goal and gets you very little. So Benitez, I don't feel as good about, but I feel pretty good about the other three. Ryan, on the kind of those remaining three, or maybe all of them, where are you kind of landing on this?
I agree with you guys. Oblak, I like Oblak. I like what you said. All the Inter guys rip long shots. So that's good. I think Benitez is kind of interesting. I think Benitez might have a higher ceiling than Sommer. I might prefer him to Kobel in tournaments just because I think PSV are more likely to score and more likely to win. I don't know. Like, why can't both these games end 1-0? I feel like that happens some of the time. But yeah, I like Oblak. Seems like the cash game move. I like Sommer too, though. I mean, you started the show off talking about how good Inter have been, how few goals they allow. So if you can get to Sommer, I think that's okay. The Inter Madrid game is like, if I was making one lineup, you know, you think the other game might shoot out, this Inter Madrid game will be lower scoring. That's probably where I'd go.
Well,
I don't know, Jack. He's goalkeeper. I mean,
Bear hears our analysis and says Benitez. I have a sincere take about goalkeeper. It's a two game knockout, and I think there's a good chance that the away teams just want to transfer the match to their home stadium, and so I think that hurts the floors of the home goalkeepers in this type of spot. So that makes me less likely to play Benitez. I'll probably try to quote unquote get different at goalkeeper. There's only four to choose from. I think Kobel is someone who's fine because he's a goalkeeper who has a chance to book a win in this case, and that 5 points can be pretty valuable. And I don't know, maybe no one gets a clean sheet and you just kind of want to play, you know, flip a coin who gets more points than Oblak.
Yeah, Kobel might have the most Kobel. Save upside. I mean, at least him and Oblak do for sure.
Yeah, Jack, so I have a question for you. I'm just guessing that at least some of your lineups are going to have a decent Dortmund presence. Do you think that you're going to try to correlate any of that with goalkeeper? And maybe kind of if you're already with some Dortmund presence, also go Kobel? Or do you think you're going to kind of dissociate those two and just make a decision based on who you think is going to have more saves?
The machine doesn't work for Champions League. That's beyond my technical capabilities at this point. So I have to play with my heart. And I think if I'm playing a few Dortmund attackers, I think that means that they're more likely to score goals and get good floors. That's probably going to be that Kobel is more likely to get a win. So I think correlating your goalkeeper to your outfielders when you're playing a cheap goalkeeper, I think that makes a lot of sense. Again, it's a two-game slate. So you kind of just, with a cheap goalkeeper, maybe I get lucky, but maybe there's just no clean sheet, which is going to happen, I think, the majority of, well, maybe not the majority of the time necessarily, but a healthy range of outcomes, there's going to be no clean sheet. So figure I'll just play for no clean sheets and then paint my goalkeepers and hope for saves. You know, then I don't have to worry about, you know, correlating with center backs necessarily, although I'll probably fall into that because there are cheap center backs for every goalie on this slate. But yeah, on a two gamer, I don't really worry about defender correlation, but the attacker correlation, Mo, I think that is a little bit more interesting.
Fair enough.
Oh, all right. Well, I think we've chopped up a bunch of angles here. I mean, you know, defenders, a little ho-hum. Midfield, there's some cheap plays that are worth darts, but we have, you know, expensive triumvirate worth playing. And then forward, who the heck knows? That's going to be a bit, that's going to be the challenge once lineups come out. But I don't know. Any final thoughts before we bid everyone farewell?
Yeah, I mean, I'll like player thoughts or what are we looking for here? GPP, like one guy that just me, I've sort of switched around or switched my view on is this Folk Rug. I mean, now I haven't seen a lot of Dortmund either, but I've been down on this guy, probably talked a little bad about him. I remember in the World Cup and early shows, look, like when he's 30 years old before he gets to an elite team, and I just see some like 6'2" kind of like plodding, slowish white guy. And, you know, I'm not like excited about his prospects, but without knowing all that, just looking at the game logs, I mean, he's been absolutely smashing his floor. Like, isn't, you know, he doesn't have a floor really because he's a center forward, but it's not terrible because he plays 90 minutes and he might be the most likely of the Dortmund guys to play 90 minutes. He's certainly the most likely to score a goal. And I'm not sure that his ownership is going to come with that. So yeah, I'm in on Folk Rug. I mean, not the type of player that I normally get behind, but like, can't really argue with it. Maybe he's just like, I wish I'd watched more Dortmund because I can't really talk about it, but maybe he's just like a beast and he's just out there working his ass off, doesn't get tired, strong, good at headers. Like, you know, this is the environment where there could be goals. So I'm in on Folk Rug for a GPP.
I feel like I have all of these same thoughts and questions for Luke de Jong. Like, I just don't know what to
similar,
do
right? It's very similar. Yeah.
It's very similar because, you know, I've been on this pod talking about how much I like Veerman, how much I like Bakayoko, how much I like PSV as an attacking team. So surely you would think, okay, well, you know, all it takes is a touch to give an assist or score a goal, and then, you know, you're in pretty good shape. And he is, by percentage, the highest rated goal scorer on the slate. So that'll be the one that keeps me up.
I think that's a good call. I think the field is the soccer lobby is getting sharper, and I do think most people still aren't going to want to click Luke de Jong. I mean, myself included. I know I feel the same way as you, but it's probably a pretty decent tournament play, all things considered.
I'll end with my own take. Keep an eye out on Marcel Sabitzer. He has a way of blowing up slates in a very random way, so I will have a sprinkling of him around. But this was a lot of fun. Mo, you were an awesome guest. Thank you so much for joining us. We're glad you won your ticket so you could pay your entry fee to show up. Ryan, thank you always as well. I wish everybody good luck. Thanks for joining us. Please join us at RotoWire. Join us in the Discord. You can talk with me, Mo, and Ryan. Have a few laughs along the way. And good luck, everyone. Although I really am kind of feeling salty. I don't have a ticket yet. I'm starting to get FOMO. So if you could kindly maybe submit some empty lineups to the $25 King of the Pitch with some of those tickets that you pick up, you know, in these other lobbies, you know, every little bit helps this humble mathematician right here. So thank you so much, everyone. We will see you all tomorrow, and good luck.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Good luck, everybody.